Every week, we tell you about whistleblowers from around the world, many of whom put their careers and lives on the line to speak truth to power. Some countries protect their whistleblowers, others do not. But what happens when you're a journalist in a country that has no protections for truth tellers, a country where even reporting the news may put you at odds with the government? I'm John Kiriakou, and you're watching The Whistleblowers. Hello, and welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. The International Federation of Journalists reports that 45 journalists were killed while doing their jobs in 2021. 33 of them were murdered in targeted attacks in places as diverse as Afghanistan, Syria, Iran, and Mexico. At the same time, 345 journalists were arrested and imprisoned last year just for doing their jobs. It's tough enough to be a whistleblower and to report on waste, fraud, abuse, and illegality. But what is it like to be a journalist, where freedom of the press is not respected and where doing one's job is so dangerous? We're going to discuss this and more with our next guest, Congo-based freelance journalist Kudra Maliro. Kudra, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show. Kudra, how does a freelance journalist or an independent journalist protect himself or herself in a country like Congo, where you're often called on to report from conflict zones or on sensitive issues like mining, labor unrest, or even threats to civil rights?
To be a freelance journalist in this area, in the part of East in DRC, it's very hard. You know, you don't have any contract with media and others. It's a little bit hard for us to be journalists, freelancer without contracts, because something you could be arrested or something could happen without any support. And it's very hard to escape. For example, like me, I work in Eastern DRC. There is, we have to be followed up by Congolese governments, Congolese soldiers. Also, sometimes militias can just send you the message it's very hard. I can say it's very hard to be a journalist in this part of East in DRC.
You have received threats, warnings from the police and the government, and you've been denied access to do your job. How do you deal with something like that? How do you protect yourself and yet continue to do your job as a reporter?
Yeah, I remember the last threats when I got the last threats when it was in 2015. I report some news about a lady, but I can just say the recently one. I done a report about WHO when Ebola outbreak was here in DRC. Some doctors from WHO abused many ladies from DRC. And after that, I do an investigation with the Associated Press. I just make some interview with those ladies. I talk to some people who the host of the hotel. I ask them about those doctors. And after that, I get many threats. And last month, I think in June, when Ebola outbreak appear here, coming again here in this area, I got many problems to work with WHO. I asked many times to WHO that to give me accreditation to visit some Ebola treatment center when patients are there, but WHO says, no, Kudra, we can't give you the accreditation because last time you done reports about sex abuse and you are someone in French we call non grata. That's you. We don't want you to report about something about Ebola and other things. You are in our blacklist. You see, the thing like that, it's very hard to work like journalist and you are freelancer. We don't have like backup when problem come.
There are several especially sensitive topics that you've reported on, including fighting in eastern Congo between government forces and M23 rebels who are supported by Rwanda. The Congolese government has threatened you with arrest because of your reporting. Again, how do you protect yourself and continue to do your job? Do you find yourself having to self-censor, for example?
If when you work here, you have to follow the law of Democratic Republic of Congo. Yesterday, Union National, the Press Congolais, said that some journalists who work here in DRC, if they are doing some interview with M23 rebel staff, they will arrest you, and also they will pick up your accreditation, even your press ID. And you see the thing like that, you must be careful when you are working here in Eastern DRC. And you have to update yourself to know the protocol, what is going on in this time, what the Minister of Communication says about that case. And if you respect that protocol, I think that's no problem. You will anything can happen. You can be safe, and you can work easily in Eastern DRC.
Kudra, what happens if, God forbid, the government arrests you and you become one of those journalists incarcerated for doing his job? Who is there to stand up for you and for your rights in a country that's really not known for its protections for journalists? Who do you turn to? Is there international support, for example, for Congo's journalists?
I'm a member with more than three association of journalists. The first one, I think, if I got some problem, I think Associated Press will do a statement about my arrest. If I'm arrested, also. A member of a Foreign Press Association Africa, they are based in Kenya. We have our group, and they are just monitoring everything, what is happening, what the problem of journalists. Also, I'm a member of a local association of journalists here in Congo. The name is Union Nationale de Presse Congolaise. I think if I got problem, I think those will just put some mini statements, and also other journalists will share the story via social media. Also, I think here in Beni, there is our journalists, the committee of journalists. If a journalist have a problem, they will just broadcast the news on radio. Also, they can say, okay, we can do 1 week without news in Beni to condemn also, or to condemn or to say government have to release our journalists.
You're watching The Whistleblowers. We're going to take a short break and then continue our conversation with Congolese journalist Kudra Maliro. Stay tuned.
Counter the Russian state control narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays, on est en France quoi, c'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
So what we've got to do is identify the threats that we have.
It's crazy.
Confrontation, let it be an arms race.
Who is on offense? Very dramatic development.
I personally am going to resist.
I don't see how that strategy will be successful.
Very critical time.
Time to sit down and talk.
Здесь земля отверженных. Нам уже от нее не деться. Ветер степной пахнет смертью, мятой и медом. Мы пьем за любовь, за правду, за наше счастливое детство. Пьем, не чокаясь, из гильз от гранатомета.
Вся русская литература – это война. Поэзия там, где больно.
Победим, у нас нет других вариантов. Иначе эта вся свора размотает нас на тряпки. Так что нам придется побеждать.
There is a need, very urgent need to reform United Nations system. And that is in its own, on sort of, UN has to maintain its credibility. It is for its own good that UN system must be reformed to make it more contemporaneous, to make it serve in terms of being representative of the reality on the ground, and also therefore, being more effective in resolving issues and ensuring peace around the world.
Operation Aerodynamic began shortly after World War II and lasted almost three decades.
It was a major effort to try and split the Ukraine off from the Soviet Union.
U.S. intelligence, together with Hitler's executioners, trained hundreds of saboteurs to be deployed in the Soviet Union.
Жестокость националистов, бандеровцев была абсолютно беспредельная. Ничего не стоило убить младенца, расчленить младенца.
Today's security service of Ukraine uses not only the sadistic methods, but also the ideology of the nationalists.
Это две женщины, связанные сзади руками, с контролем в лицевом голову.
Милости просим в Украине!
Добро пожаловать в Украину!
Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We're speaking with Kudra Maliro. He's a freelance journalist in the Congo covering some of the most difficult and controversial issues in the country for such outlets as the Associated Press, Agence France-Presse, and Reuters. Good to have you back, Kudra. I wanted to ask you about some of the controversial stories that you've covered and what the response has been from the Congolese government. Let's start with your coverage of the conflict in eastern Congo and the M23 rebels. There are very few journalists in the region, and you've written big stories. Tell us about the response.
Yeah, I think I have told you about the new protocol of Union Nationale de Presse Congolaise. They are saying you are Congo, if you are a journalist working in DRC, you are not allowed to make some interview with Rebo. And that is the problem, I'm now covering the conflict in Eastern DRC and the M23 conflicts. Also, I have just made some interview with government, spokesmen of government, some diplomats, some local society, local civil society, some people near Goma. And the problem is I'm not allowed to talk to like others group, like M23s, and that's, I think, journalistics, my reports could not have, could not be strong, because I'm not allowed to make some interview with all parties. I think in journalism says when you like to write a report, you have to talk to all parties. In this case, you have to talk to Rebo if it's possible, you have to talk to Congolese governments, You have to talk to businesses, civil societies, local chief, and that my report could not fit because of that new protocol. And that will be hard for me. And I think that other journalists from other countries like USA, like France, like UK, that if they are seeing my reports without all parties, all people who interact on my reports, they will say, no, this guy is not serious. But it will be because of my country that doesn't allow me to make interview with all parties, and it's very hard for me to finish my reports. But I'm still following up my report. I think that in like 2 weeks, my report will be out, and I think people will see what I will read, and I'll respect also the protocol of my country to not make some interview with rebels.
Tell us about some of the challenges that you face in the field. What's it like, for example, to cover stories like the conflict in Eastern Congo or sexual assaults by United Nations peacekeepers? What's the reaction when these stories are published and your name is on the byline?
Sometimes United Nations MONUSCO, if I done some reports because I have many contacts of spokesmen of many NGO like UNICEF, WHO, MONUSCO, others. When the story is out with my name in byline, sometimes responsible of the guy communication people, spokesman, they are just coming back to me. Kudra, you have just read, you have to change this, you have to change. You have to send this to your editor, like my editor for AP. Sometimes I work with the Johannesburg Bureau or Dakar, and sometimes London Bureau. And they have to tell me, Kudra, you have to change this. They have to send me many emails. Kudra, this is wrong. Please, Kudra, change. You know, this, my code was this, you have to change. And also, sometimes they are saying, oh, Kudra, you have do a great job, thank you. And I have many challenges. Like also, for example, I'm in Beni. If I like to go to Goma, also I have to use like, because the road is not safe, I have to use like aircraft of UN, like for UNICEF. I have to go with, to use the patrol of MONUSCO to go to some place like Beni up to Goma or Butembo, and I have many challenges. First, just to prepare my travel, also and challenge. Sometimes you know I'm a freelancer. I can write an email, and also the editors to reply to me. Like today we are Friday. If I send some pitch, they have to reply me on Monday or Tuesday. You know, they think I have many, many challenges to work as a journalist here in Congo.
Friends of mine who are journalists tell me that they stay as active as possible on social media so that if something happens to them, people will notice that they're no longer reporting or responding. They say that this gives them a certain modicum of security. Do you agree with that? I've noticed that you're active on social media as well.
You know, as a journalist, I have to be online at all the time. Also, we have WhatsApp group with other journalists to share some news. Also, if someone also is in a threat, we have to make some alert. There is, we have, as a journalist, you have to be connected on the internet at all time. And also we have to be keep posts as a colleague, like via SMS, via WhatsApp, even Facebook, Twitter. We have to be to share every time what is happening, and also to following up some news and something which is happening.
Kudra, you've certainly not chosen an easy life. What advice would you give to other freelance or independent journalists who are working in dangerous areas or working on sensitive issues with little or no governmental support or protection? How can they protect themselves?
First of all, it's to be in good relationship with people near you. You have to be, you have to have a good relationship with colleagues and others. Also, to following up the new protocol. If something is changed, you have to following up. What can I do to be safe? And also to, you have to, if it's possible to have, you have to, you need to have like a, some relationship with governments, authority, if something is happening. Also, to do professionally your work, to work well, to do your work, and respect all law in the country, I think that it will be good. And also to avoid to be too appear, like when you are covered something, you have to have like a heavy camera, you have to wear bulletproof jackets, like a press ID, the biggest press ID. I think that's, you will not be safe when you are wearing a thing like that. You will not be safe. You have to be in good relationship with people near you.
Finally, Kudra, I wanted to ask if you cover stories elsewhere in Africa, and if so, what are the differences from country to country regarding freedom of the press and protection for journalists? Who's doing it right and who's doing it wrong?
I think in this world, it's not that someone is wrong or someone is good, but you know, people, all country have to follow in their benefits. You know, when if someone is president, he could not want some journalists to make like to post a news with the like a bad background with like a president, and they need just to be that's the news to respect their I think that's to the news to respect them. But for me as a journalist, we have our in French we call deontologie journalistique. We have to follow that rules, that to know I'm a journalist, yes, but I can do that because I'm a journalist. I'm not free to make some thing like this because I'm a journalist. We have to respect our law and to know what is our limits to know our limits to do the news.
Thank you to our guest, Kudra Milaro, who is doing courageous things with his life in Congo. And thank you for joining us on yet another episode of The Whistleblowers. Remember the words of Martin Luther King Jr., who said, "We must continue to speak out against all forms of injustice to ourselves and to others, and we will set a mighty example for our children and for future generations." Until next time, I'm John Kiriakou, and this has been The Whistleblowers.